So, all right, well, we're on Wednesday night, and we're on the family afterward. And we are on page, I mark it down now so we don't, I don't repeat myself too much. We're on page 125. And these chapters, these last few chapters, have a lot of power in them, a lot of the spiritual principles. Here's a book up here for you right there. There you go, Andy. We have a lot of spiritual principles in the stuff we're going to read tonight. And we all have families. And the power of this chapter is that they understood, the people wrote this, because they were alcoholics, and they all had to go back into the world. And so there are a lot of good stuff on here in relationships and how to get along, and then some of those mistakes alcoholics make and some of the mistakes that the people who live and love them make as well, because it's a tough situation. And a couple other things. I wrote a couple thoughts this week. I wrote one on the two musts in step 10, and it's on the site. What you must do if you want to stay in contact with God and in recovered. And then I wrote one, I haven't put it out yet, on conscious contact with God. I'll put that out. And that's how we have that, we become God conscious. And so we had talked about that on Sunday night. So they're out on the site. I have a lot of fun writing them. I don't know if anybody likes reading them, but I've done 61 now. So it's helped me a lot. Many alcoholics are enthusiasts. We're down at the bottom of the page, 125. They run to extremes. I think that's an exaggeration, isn't it? I think it's an understatement. We're extreme examples of self-will, right? Right. And we run the extremes. We don't do anything in moderation. At the beginning of recovery, a man may take, as a rule, one or two directions. Now, this is good. The next few pages are about two directions that people take in their observation when they recover. He may either plunge into a frantic attempt to get on his feet in business, or he may be so enthralled by his new life that he talks or thinks of little else. So he goes either the spiritual route or the recovering his business, his image. In either case, certain family problems arise. With these, we have had experience galore. So we are extremes. So we're going to talk now about people try to get their economic life back. And did anybody do that? I know I tried. That became my higher power for years, just trying to show everybody I was really okay. I wasn't the failure alcoholic addict, whatever. And so it says, we think it dangerous. That means it is dangerous if he rushes headlong at his economic problems. And one of the problems with that is that we substitute money for alcohol, or we substitute making ourselves look good for alcohol. And we're substituting money and approval for God. And we do it with good motives, because we come in here and we're a mess and we want to show everybody we're okay, right? And I think that's very common. And it says, the family will be affected also pleasantly at first. They're glad you're going to work or you have a job, and at least you're, and if you still have a family, as they feel their money troubles are about to be solved. Then not so pleasantly as they find themselves neglected. And one of the things we need to do as alcoholics, no matter how long we're in recovery, is have a balance. You know, a balance between our responsibilities and our connection with our loved ones and our responsibilities at home. And it says, Dad may be tired at night, preoccupied by day. He may take small interest in the children and may show irritation when reproved. Now, that can't possibly apply to anybody in this room. In fact, I would say every alcoholic always gets irritated when reproved. It's our nature, don't you think? It's our initial response. If anybody tells us anything, we get a little irritated. But now I just say, well, maybe they're right. You know, maybe I need to hear that, right? But for his delinquencies. So they're deciding what your delinquencies are, and they tell you about them, and then you get irritated. It says, if you don't get irritable, he may seem dull and boring, not gay and affectionate as the family would like him to be. So in other words, the family's looking at the alcoholic and they're judging him and they're judging her, how they're doing. Are they giving themselves enough attention? Are they acting a certain way? And whenever you decide how somebody should be, then you're setting up a resentment. Remember, resentments are expectations of how others behave. So the family's starting to decide the loved one, husband or wife, is not quite doing what they may like. Mother may complain of inattention. She may complain if you give her too much attention. I mean, it's a very practical view of things. They're all disappointed and often left them feel it. I bet that makes them feel real good. Beginning with such complaints, now look at this, a barrier arises. So they're starting to put a barrier between themselves and the alcoholic, and the barrier is created by both the alcoholic and the family. They decide how the alcoholic is, the alcoholic decides how his motives should be, and they're starting to get conflict. And he's thinking, he's straining every nerve to make up for lost time. So we're saying we're doing the best we can. They're not happy. I'm going to work. I'm sober. I'm sober 30 days. I'm back at work. Can't they leave me alone? I've heard that a lot at meetings. I may have said that myself. And it says, he's straining every nerve. He's striving to recover fortune and reputation and feels he is doing well. Does that sound like Bill W.? The drive for success was on. So the alcoholic really isn't thinking about the family, and he wants to recover and his reputation, and it isn't about really providing for the family, is it? It's about getting approval and getting your way of getting rid of your shame and guilt. And your motives aren't of service and love. They're self-centered. And I wrote here, prove he is okay. It says, sometimes mother and children don't think so. They don't think that he's straining and striving. Have he been neglected and misused in the past? I circled these words. They think, so this is what they think. Father owes them more than they are getting. They want, this is what they want from father. You see how he wrote this? They want him to make a fuss over them, so they're telling you how they think father should be, how they want him to be, and then they expect him, how they expect him to be. They expect him to give them the nice times they used to have before he drank so much. And then here's another one. They want father to show them. So you see, they're making a lot of demands on dad. How they think he should be, how they want him to be, how they expect him to be, and how they, and he should show contrition. And then here's a line. It's just thrown in there. But dad doesn't give freely of himself and resentment grows. You see how it works? The family has expectations. Well, they've had a tornado, right? And he comes home, or she comes home, and you see there's a lot of tension. It's not so easy for an alcoholic to come back into the family. And that may be one of the advantages of treatment. It gives 30 days of like a treaty. You know, when you go away for 30 days, it gives a 30 days of kind of space where people can kind of get some of these expectations or emotions settled down before they come back together. And it says, he becomes still less communicative. Sometimes he explodes over a trifle, and the family's mystified. Well, here they're expecting him, and they're critical of him, and then he reacts, and then they're mystified. And they criticize, pointing out how he is falling down on his spiritual program. I'm sure that goes over well. Or they'll criticize, you're doing too much spiritually, because that's the next page. But here's the thing. It says, this sort of thing can be avoided. And look at this. It's something we should all remember. There are a lot of principles in here. Both the father and the family are mistaken. Remember the fourth column? What was our mistakes in resentment? They're both mistaken. Because though each side may have some justification. Now remember, justified resentments are bad. And they're not even, and remember the spiritual axiom that if I'm disturbed, there's something wrong with me, right? So they're mad at him, he's mad at them, they're both justified anger, and things aren't ever going to go well, right? And that's when that's a situation, things don't go well. So here's what he writes on the next page. The family must realize, so here's another must, that dad, though marvelously improved, is still convalescing. mean, they have to be patient. Remember what our code of life is? Love and tolerance is our code. And so we have to be loving and tolerant, and they have to be loving and tolerant. And convalescing is recovering one's health and strength over time. And remember, early in recovery, a lot of people haven't even finished the steps. They don't understand the whole spiritual program yet, and they're just trying to do the best they can. And so that's why they wanted people to work the steps fairly quickly, so they would have some spiritual base of living when they came back in with the family. And because remember, Dr. Bob would go to the hospital, 1938, and they would have a 5-day treatment, and then they'd come home. And the families were the ones who told him about the alcoholic to begin with, so the families were very involved. So this is written in a different time than the wives would actually go to the AA meetings, and a lot of them would go first before they could get their husbands. And so they knew the wives, they were all close-knit. And so these are the people writing this book. It's a different time now. And it says they should be thankful. Now notice the other side is what they expected, thank, and showed, and expected. And here they change it. The family should be thankful he is sober and able to be of this world once more. They should praise his progress. You see how it changes? The one paragraph over there is how they're mad at him. He's not living up. And then the other paragraph is maybe they should realize that he's better than he was. He's sober. Praise his progress. And let them remember that his drinking wrought all kinds of damages that may take long to repair. And if they sense these things, they will not take so seriously his periods of crankiness, depression, or apathy. Now, isn't that true of any relationship or you're in today? Just be thankful that the person is how they are. Praise people. Sense that things are better than they were. And then here's the thing. The crankiness, depression, and apathy disappears when there's tolerance, love, and spiritual understanding. Now think about that. That's one of the great lines in this book. So it goes both ways, right, for everybody. And what I said in here, I wrote, you are reflected back what you bring into the situation. So if you bring tolerance, love, and spiritual understanding, you're going to get it back. If you go into the room and you say, you're cranky, you're depressed, you're apathetic, blah, 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 you're going to get that back. And so think about that in any of your situations. How you react to the situation, what you bring into it, is what you're going to get from your spouse, your partner, or relationships at work, anywhere. And it says, the head of the house ought to remember that he's mainly to blame for what befell his home. He can scarcely square the account in his lifetime. But he must see the danger of over-concentration on financial success. You know, that's where your pride's starting to come in, right? And you're starting to rebuild your ego. And you're going to show him, are you working for God or who you're working for? And what are you trying to be financial success for? Is it really the family or yourself? And remember, anytime we put something ahead of God, it's going to move us off the path. It says, although financial recovery is on the way for many of us, and here it is again, it's in working with others, and I'll go back to that. We found we could not place money first. Material well-being always follows spiritual progress. It never preceded. That's a powerful line. I'll read again. Material well-being always follows spiritual progress. It never preceded. And if you're choosing material well-being, it's going to inhibit your spiritual progress. And on page 98, you don't all have to turn back. I can read it. But it says in the first paragraph, they're talking about how you give to people. It says it's not the matter of giving, but when and how to give. It often makes the difference between failure and success. The minute we put our work on a service plane, the alcoholic commences to rely upon our assistance rather than upon God. And now here it is. He claims he cannot master alcohol until his material needs are cared for. Nonsense. And some of it says, some of us have taken very hard knocks during this trip. Job or not a job, wife or no wife. We simply do not drinking so long as we place dependence upon people ahead of dependence upon God. And so what are we putting ahead of God? And if we're trying to rebuild our lives and get financial success, then we're going to be, it's not going to work. I've seen that a lot. People come to AA, they're real enthusiastic, they get a sponsor, they work the steps, then they start focusing on their relationship or job, and then you stop seeing them after a while, and then you don't see them. And so they drift away back into self-centeredness. Since the home has suffered more than anything else, it is well that a man exert himself there. He is not likely to get far in any direction if he fails to show unselfishness and love under his own roof. Another powerful line. I mean, it's powerful stuff on here. I'm to be unselfish and loving in my own house, right? And if I am that way, I'm going to get unselfishness and love. And so what should be my goal every day? Well, I do this. I ask my wife every day, what can I do today to make her life better? And I got that from Chuck Sia, A New Pair of Glasses, years ago. He said that every day he would ask his wife, what can I do to make your life better? And Sunday she told me to get her a DiGiorno's pizza at Walgreens, which was easy. But it's the idea that she knows that I'm at least interested and I care, and I say it sincerely. What can I do today? If I have plans for the day, I'll ask her first and make sure they're not in conflict. You know, I don't know. It's better than I used to be. We know there are difficult wives and families, but the man who is getting over alcoholism must remember he did much to make them so. And this is a really good paragraph. As each member of a resentful family, it's a resentful family, begins to see his shortcomings, so as every member of the family sees their own shortcomings and admits them to others, he lays a basis for helpful discussion. Now, I think what happens in the resentful family is they tell you your shortcomings and they want you to admit them. And so if each person in the family will be honest and look at their own behavior and look at their character defects and what they're bringing in the situation, then you can have a helpful discussion. He talks about that when in making amends with the family. And I always ask this question if anybody's ever done this, and I never really hear any answer. But it says on page 83, it says there's a long period of reconstruction ahead. We must take the lead. A remorseful mumbling that we're sorry won't fill the bill at all. We ought to sit down with the family and frankly analyze the past as we see it, being very careful not to criticize them. So they talk about that here when you're making amends to the family. Their defects may be glaring, but the chances are that our own actions are partly responsible. And so it says we have to clean house with the family. And I ask this every morning. I ask every morning in meditation, that God show me the way of patience, tolerance, kindliness, and love. The way of it. Not that I practice patience, but show me the way of it in each situation. So in other words, the way I look at it, I meditate on it, and I wrote it in this last thought, is when I go into a situation, I want to know the way I can be this way with God's help. And then I will be that way. And so I found that helpful. So it says, these family, back on page 127, these family talks will be constructive if they can be carried on without heated argument, self-pity, self-justification, or resentful criticism. Now, you think they wrote this paragraph because these things happen? Well, they do. And you see, that's why some people, marriage counseling, because it gives someone a referee to help establish the rules of each person has their own view of things, and maybe get them to see that their view may be wrong. Until I can see that my view of the situation is wrong, I can only see the wrong that I perceive, and it's not really true. And we're going to open it up. People can talk about this. Little by little, mother and children will see they ask too much, and father will see he gives too little. See, so if you have a useful interaction and you get out of all this self-centered thinking, you can see your roles. They're expecting too much and he's not giving enough. And then here's a powerful line on 128. I mean, I have a list of the spiritual principles. I'll have to bring it next week. Giving rather than getting will become the guiding principle. What's the guiding principle of your life? Is it giving or is it getting? And remember, it says our primary purpose, and our real purpose in AA, is to fit ourselves to be of maximal service to God and others. What am I giving in every situation? Now, here's the other example where Father has a stirring spiritual experience. So now this is, we've talked about the person who wants to make himself look good and get back his finances. This is the other, the person who's had that powerful, they're really full of the Spirit. And overnight, where he is a different man, he becomes a religious enthusiast. He is unable to focus on anything else. As soon as his sobriety begins to be taken as a matter of course, the family may look at their strange new dad with apprehension, then with irritation. He talks about spiritual matters morning, noon, and night. He may demand that the family find God to hurry or exhibit amazing indifference to them and say he is above worldly considerations. Now, I hope she doesn't listen to these talks, but sometimes, you know, my wife will get upset and a resentment or something, and I'll tell her, you know, you need to let go of the resentment, honey. And she says, well, I don't want, she says, I don't want to hear the AA stuff right now. she says, don't give me any of that AA, because she knows the stuff, and she knows, but she'll say, I'm not ready. I don't want to hear it yet, right now. And so anyway, she's funny. It says, there's talk about he may demand that the family, he may tell mother who's been religious all her life that she doesn't know what it's all about and that she had better get his brand of spirituality while there's still yet time. Sounds like an alcoholic, doesn't it? When Father takes this tack, the family may react unfavorably. And here it is, they may be jealous of a God who has stolen Dad's affection, you see. Alcohol was his higher power. Now it's this, his relationship with God, his spirituality. He knows how to do it. He's close to God. He knows the way. While grateful that he drinks no more, they may not like the idea that God has accomplished the miracle where they failed. But here it is. They often forget Father was beyond human aid, and whatever they're seeing now is certainly better, right? They may not see why their love and devotion did not straighten him out. Dad is not so spiritual after all, they say. If he means to right his past wrongs, why all this concern for everyone in the world but his family? What about his talk that God will take care of them? They suspect he's a little balmy. But here's a really good view of this. He's not so unbalanced as they may think. Many of us have experienced God's elation. We have indulged in the spiritual intoxication. Well, a lot of us do that. We feel we're on a new plane. We've relieved of the obsession to drink, right? We're starting to find some peace in our lives. We have a purpose. And here it is, like a gaunt prospector, belt drawn in over the last ounce of food, our pick struck gold. And here's a joy at our release from a lifetime of frustration knew no bounds. I mean, we found something and we're really excited about it. Father feels he has struck something better than gold. For a time he may try to hug the new treasure to himself. He may not see it once, and this is really good. He has barely scratched a limitless load, which will pay dividends only if he mines it for the rest of his life and insists on giving away the entire product. That's the whole deal. We barely scratch the surface. We talk about continue to take personal inventory, continue to seek, improve our conscious contact with God. And it's only going to pay dividends if I continue to do it the rest of my life and I insist on giving it away. That's a line that really we should use more at meetings. If a family cooperates, Dad will soon see that he is suffering from a distortion of values. He'll see that after a while. He will perceive that his spiritual growth is lopsided, that for an average man like himself, now here's another line, a spiritual life which does not include his family obligations may not be so perfect after all. You could go through here and you could make a list of all of these things, and then you could meditate on these things every day, on how you're supposed to be with your family and your loved ones. Because remember, this chapter is really practice the principles in all our affairs, which is the last part of the 12th step. If the family will appreciate that Dad's current behavior is but a phase of his development, all will be well. In the midst of an understanding and sympathetic family, these vagaries of Dad's spiritual infancy will quickly disappear. And a vagary is an unexpected an inexplicable change in behavior. And the opposite may happen should the family condemn and criticize. Dad may feel that his years of drinking has placed him on the wrong side of every argument. That could probably be. But that now he has become a superior person with God on his side. Well, that's a bad attitude. If the family persists in criticism, this fallacy may still take a greater hold on him. You see, he'll dig in his trenches. Instead of treating the family as he should, he may retreat further into himself, and I love this, and feel he has spiritual justification for doing so. So the worst things are your spiritually justified thoughts. We talk about justified resentments, but they are, and I wrote, he says they're not being fair. You know, they're not treating me right. And then we get into self-pity. Though the family does not fully agree with Dad's spiritual activities, they should let him have his head. Even if he displays a certain amount of neglect and irresponsibility towards the family, it is well to let him go as far as he likes in helping other alcoholics. During those first days of convalescence, this will do more to ensure sobriety than anything else. One of the things I see is that people come to AA and we want them to go to a lot of meetings and work with the sponsor and do the steps, and sometimes the spouse says, well, you know, you've been away so long and now you're going to all those meetings and this and that. And I think sometimes it helps if the spouse will come to an AA meeting or so, or go to an Al-Anon meeting. That will really help to see the perspective, because in the beginning, we really have to be focused on our sobriety. And then I just, one more paragraph. It says, though some of his manifestations are alarming and disagreeable, we think Dad will be on a firmer foundation than the man who is placing business or professional success ahead of spiritual development. And I think that's one of the big things we have to watch for. Are we putting anything ahead of our spiritual development? He will be less likely to drink again, and anything is preferable to that. So the people who are really into the spiritual and maybe it's seen to be extreme, that's better than not. And over time, they'll temper it. And here, I'll stop with this. This last paragraph is really something. It says, those of us who have spent much time in the world of spiritual make-believe have eventually seen the childish of it. Now here, look at this. This dream world has been replaced. And the dream world, isn't that what we were in when we came here? We're alcoholics. We lived in this world that didn't exist. It was full of resentment, fear, and shame, and guilt, right? Mm-hmm. And we had made a world that wasn't really true. But the dream world of the spiritual life has been replaced by a great sense of purpose, accompanied by a growing consciousness of the power of God in our lives. We have come to believe he would like us to keep our heads in the cloud with him, but that our feet ought to be firmly planted on earth. That is where our fellow travelers are, and that is where our work must be done. These are the realities for us. We have found nothing incomparable between a powerful spiritual experience and a life of sane and happy usefulness. I don't know about you, but that's really a lot of stuff in there. The dream world has been replaced. I have a great sense of purpose. I'm having growing in my consciousness of the power of God in my lives. I'm having a spiritual awakening, right? I've come to believe he wants to keep myself up with him, but that I have to do my work on earth. So in other words, I have to practice the principles in all my affairs. And this is where our fellow travels are, and this is where my work must be done. These are the realities now. We have found nothing incompatible between a powerful spiritual life experience and a life of sane and happiness. And I would say, I don't think it's possible to have a life of sane and happy usefulness without a powerful spiritual experience. And that's why we have to work the steps, right? Because our main problem is our selfish self-centeredness. So I'm going to stop it there. I don't know about you, but there's a lot of good stuff in here. And so it'll be on the tape, and I'll be able to listen to it again and other people. And I'm going to actually write out some of those principles and try to meditate on them in how I practice with these principles in my affairs. So. Wow.